Welcome to Our PBC Life, a safe place for all to tune in and enjoy. We hope that today's sermon inspires and encourages you. You can stay connected with us on our social media at MyPBCLife or through our website at pbclife.ca. Be blessed and enjoy.
We continue in our series, Zeal for God's House. This morning, very encouraging message. I love this book. Again, all of the books of the Bible are incredible, and they fit in different seasons for different reasons. And so this season, this year, we're looking at zeal for God's house. As we look at our world context and culture and crisis and chaos, the one thing that is the answer is that people have to turn back to the Lord. This past week in our growth Bible study, which is our Wednesday night Bible study, we're going through the book of Ephesians with Pastor Vintress from South Carolina. And she pointed out three major things in Ephesians chapter 2 this week. And you can always sign up to get online with that by just going to info@ppc. But she pointed out three things in the book of Ephesians chapter 2. Three main things. There was lots more. But I'm pinpointing these three. One, let's be very conscious of what it means to have the grace of God. Let's be very conscious of what it means to have God's grace. Number two, let's understand the power of God at work in the church. And number three, be very cognizant of the evil forces working against you in the dark and unseen world. That is the flesh, the world, and the devil. The flesh, worldliness, and the devil's agenda. Be very cognizant. He's rampaging, and he will find a foothold and make it your mountain. But Ephesians teaches us how to be strong and be strong in the grace of God. And very similar to what is highlighted in Ephesians, Paul is highlighting that now in chapter 3 of 1 Corinthians, chapter 3. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 10 to 23, we'll read it in a moment. But Paul begins this with a reminder that our spiritual lives are about the great grace of Almighty God. Similar to the book of Ephesians, he's telling us, my life, your life, is about the great grace of Almighty God. It's not happenstance. It's not coincidence. It's not, shock God, look what happened. It is the great grace that he has already decreed and declared over your life. And such grace calls us to respond in a proper spiritual manner. There's an answerability to the spirit realm when you acknowledge the great grace of God that is upon your life. So friends, spiritual growth is not caused by human hands. Spiritual growth is activated by God's supreme energy. It is by Christ's life force, and it's by the power of the Holy Spirit. If we do not understand that grace is not something you can buy, and grace is not something that you can really give, grace comes because of Jesus Christ our Lord, because of God the Father, and because of the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. So let us read together. I'll read 1 Corinthians 3, verse 10 to 3. That's our passage today. Would you just follow along with me in your mind, but I'll read vocally. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10 to 23. Because of God's grace to me, I have laid the foundation like an expert builder. Now others are building on it, but whoever is building on this foundation must be very careful, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one we already have, Jesus Christ. Anyone who builds on that foundation may use a variety of materials, gold, silver, jewels, wood, hay, or straw. But on the judgment day, fire will reveal what kind of work each builder has done. The fire will show if a person's work has any value. If the work survives, that builder will receive a reward. But if the work is burnt up, the builder will suffer great loss. The builder will be saved, but like someone barely escaping through a wall of flames. Don't you realize that all of you together are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God lives in you? God will destroy anyone who destroys this temple, for God's temple is holy and you are that temple. Stop deceiving yourselves. If you think you are wise by this world's standard, you need to become a fool to be truly wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness to God, as the scriptures say. He traps the wise in the snare of their own cleverness. And again, verse 20, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise. He knows they are worthless. So don't boast about following a particular human leader. For everything belongs to you, whether Paul or Apollos or Peter or the world or life and death or the present and the future, everything belongs to you, and you belong to Christ, and Christ belongs to God. I love verse 21. We're going to have to read that now so that it really gets in your spirit. Verse 21 preaches all by itself, and this is an empowering power passage. It says this, verse 21, let's read it together. So don't boast about following a particular human leader, for everything belongs to you, whether Paul or Apollos or Peter or the world or life and death or the present and the future, everything belongs to you. And you belong to Christ, and Christ belongs to God. Woo! Friends, there it is. Online, that is the power we have as individuals. We're all made for more. We're made in Christ through God, whose grace is upon our lives. I want you to be excited about who you are today. For there are many who do not know this great grace. God has it available for them, but they've not stepped into it. You have stepped into it. Now you need to understand who you are in Christ in God. So my message today is this. Do you know who you are? Do you know who you are? See, God enables us by his grace to accomplish what we do for his name's sake. And we're never left alone to fulfill the will of God. Never. In the Old Testament, many of them had to see the theophany, which was the presence of God manifested in some form. But we, by the grace of Almighty God, by the grace of because of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, when we accept the Lord as Savior, he automatically enters into us, and then we get to live with the empowerment of the Spirit guiding us, leading us, helping us, strengthening us. That is why we always say, go and read Acts chapter 2 and be filled with the Spirit. Because when you're filled with the Spirit, your confidence is at a high level because you know who you are. So that when the evil, remember what Paul said in Ephesians, the world, the devil, and his evil agenda, the flesh, the world, and the devil are against you. But when the power of the Holy Spirit is at work in you, God begins to show you how to overcome it all. So when God calls us to a task to build or to restore or to renew or to replenish or to revive, he does not leave us alone to do so. He does not even expect us to do the work all by ourselves. The work is already started in the spirit realm, and he knows how limited a capacity we have, so he gives us strength to accomplish the task that is before us. He equips us, he empowers us, he anoints us, he fills us by his Holy Spirit, and it's all done by faith, not by works, by faith. You don't have to pay God. You don't have to beat God up. You don't have to shout God down from heaven. You don't have to push God up. You just by faith have to believe that God who is able. The God who was is still able. The God who is to come is now already here. Can I hear an amen this morning? So friends, the church exists solely because of Christ and the privilege that we've been given to be co-laborers in the kingdom of God. So remind yourself today how blessed you are because of the grace of Almighty God. I am called to remind everyone here, you are blessed of God. I'm called online. I don't know where you are. You can tell us in the chat, but you are blessed of God because of the grace of Almighty God given to you. The reason you're listening to this message is because you're already in the grace of God. For had you not been in the grace of God, you wouldn't even know who God was. Whoa, glory. That's true glory. And so I want to encourage you. God does not require you to use worldly wisdom, human wisdom, to build the kingdom of God. He's already given us his word that will do so. Personalities can grow a church, but only the word of God and the principles of the word of God can grow a people. Let me repeat that. Personalities can grow a church, a building, can grow an auditorium, but it's only the word of God, the power of his spirit that can grow a people. And God wants to grow people because we are the temple of the living God. The church is not just the building. The church is the people who know that they're the temple of God. And that's who God wants to grow. When he grows us, everything else grows healthily. I want to just, as I go through the commentaries and prepare my message, sometimes you hit a jewel. And as I was reading through these passages, this one in the preacher's homiletic commentary about Paul's writings, I just didn't know what part to pick, and I didn't want you to think I'm saying this. This is coming straight from a theologian. So I thought I would just give it to you in writing so that you could see what this writer says. He says this. As he's talking about Corinthians now, 1 Corinthians 3, Paul gives the root cause for the trouble with the Corinthian church. It was pride. Pride in who they were and in the intellectual pursuit that kept them occupied with self-indulgence. Some in the church were glorying in being part of an intellectual, highly educated, and cultured society. They profess their worldly wisdom, claiming to know more than most. And it continued on. I skip on to say, they thought themselves wise enough to judge the value of the different church leaders. I continue on. They were judging the gifts and the abilities of those God placed as leaders. And it continues, and if those leaders disagreed with them, they separated themselves while pulling others into their parties. And it continues, they were running the risk of destroying themselves and those they had pulled into different factions. So we're now in 1 Corinthians 3, and Paul is reminding us, as we just read, how we ought to build. And he reminds them in this chapter, watch the self-deception, renounce worldly wisdom, and avoid boasting in fleshly accomplishments. So he's reminding us of who we are. We're nothing but for the grace of God. Nothing. So when you know who you are, you should know who you are because of the God, of God's grace, God's foundation, because you're God's fellow workers, you are his temple, because you're God's field, and because God is the wise master builder, and that's why you know who you are. So I'm going to run through these in a moment. Do you know who you are? Do you know who you are because of God's grace? See, because of God's grace to me, 1 Corinthians 3:10 starts off. It's a reminder that we must always speak to ourselves, reminding ourselves, I am nothing but for the grace of God. Do you know we've forgotten to say that? I am nothing but for the grace of God. Everything I am, everything I have, everything I obtain is because of God's grace. It is not because of self. It is because of God's goodness and mercy and grace upon my life. This is very important, friends. Paul says it again in Ephesians 2:4-5. Would you put that up? He says, but God is so rich in mercy, and he loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins. He gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. It is only by God's grace that you've been saved. Thank you. Online, I'm going to camp there for a moment, because the problem of our society today is too many people think that things happen because of them. And when the church has forgotten that we are nothing but for the grace of God, then the world does not even know how to come around to being selfless before God and give God glory even for what God has done upon their lives. Despite what I've gained from the world, my heart and my mind will focus on what is lasting. The only thing lasting is God's grace. The songwriter says, when I think about the Lord, how he saved me, how he raised me, how he lift me up, how he turned me around, how he plant my feet on solid ground. What do I want to do? What do I want to do? I want to shout hallelujah, because hallelujah is the highest praise. I want to shout, when I think about the Lord, what he's done for me, I should want to shout hallelujah. Church, online and in-house, if we lose sight of this, what do we have to tell those that are outside? Because I'm going to tell you that pride will also overwhelm us, and the devil runs the world on pride. So the church, which is the body, the temple of God, cannot be run on pride. We got to run on a humility and a simplicity and actually just a selflessness that says, I can't make it without him. Is there anybody here? You can't make it without him. But does the world know that? I can't do it without him. That's what we've lost. We've lost that luster of letting people know it's not in my own goodness. It's because of his greatness. And that's what needs to be restored. Know who you are because of God's foundation. There's only one true, eternal, firm foundation. All other things are temporary, and we're duly warned by Paul to watch what we build with. The world is building with their knowledge and with their finances and with whatever they gain materially, but we build our lives on the truth of God's word. In verse 10, he says, I've laid the foundation like an expert builder. Others are building on it, but whoever is building on it must be very careful, for no one can lay any other foundation other than the one we already have, Jesus Christ. No one can lay a foundation that is lasting but what Jesus Christ has done for us. But may we never get so acclimatized to the world system that we think this is what makes life happen. It is only the goodness of God and the grace of God that causes life to continue. So Paul warns us in verse 12, anyone who builds on that foundation, they may use a variety of things. You see, this is why God is so different from all of these other handmade gods. God allows us to make our own choice. Paul is not saying it can never be built with gold or hay or straw. He says you can do it if you want. He says the foundation can be built on a variety of things, gold, silver, jewels, wood, hay, or straw. He says it can be done. There are people in the world who say, well, look what we have, look what we've done. He goes, it can be done. But may I warn you, on the judgment day, fire will reveal what kind of work each builder has done. The fire will show if a person's work has any value. Paul's saying we can build all we want, but the value is determined by Almighty God. And it may not always be shown right now in the time we're living, but it will not pass the judgment day. Oh, glory to God, folks. That's good. The fire will show the value. And if the work survives, the builder receives a reward. If it's burnt up, the builder will suffer great loss. The builder will be saved, but like someone barely escaping through a wall of flames. This is a passage that would take a longer length of time. So here's the nutshell of it. He's saying, that there are Christians who will build wrongly, and they may make it into heaven because they're misguided, but they will not be given any reward. They will be saved, but it's barely making it through. I'm going to tell you, I don't want to barely make it. I want to stand at the gates of heaven and hear that, "Well done, good and faithful servant, run on in." Folks, you're not living to barely skate through. I don't want to stand there in nervousness. I don't want to even go to my eternal grave or my rest in nervousness, wondering if I made it. I want to know with assurance, because God's grace is upon my life, I'm going to do what the Word of God says, because I'm going to make it. That is your own determination. You get to set the stage. Are you going to make it? Glory to God. Also, it's a sobering reality. So don't endanger your eternal destiny. Know who you are because of God. You are God's fellow workers. Bible says in 1 Corinthians 16, don't you realize that all of you together are the temple of God and the Spirit of God lives in you? God will destroy anyone who destroys this temple, for God's temple is holy and you are that temple. Listen, he's saying, you know what he's saying? I built in the New Testament, they built the elaborate temple. Solomon in the Old Testament built the elaborate temple. All those temples were stone. But he says, the temple that I'm really building that no one can destroy, it's you. Guess what? God's building you. So nothing in this world, not now or what is to come, will destroy you. So that even when chaos comes in society, so even when everything's falling out, that even when craziness has taken over, even when selfish dominance and all these foolish things are happening, you will be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power, because he's building you. He's not building just walls. He's building you. He chose you. Tell somebody, look at them with a scoff. He chose you? Come on. No, some of you looked at others with a smile. No. You gotta be doubting it. Like, look at them, really. He chose you? Really? You? There is such a seriousness regarding anyone who destroys their own faith or even the faith of others. It's easy to destroy your own faith, friends. It begins very simply when you think, I have to help God because I just have to. And then that thinking progresses to where you think, well, God cannot help me. And then that it progresses and it fuels itself until you begin to think even Holy Spirit's not real, so I'm going to have to do everything myself. You heard people who have paraphrased or secularly phrased, God helps those who help themselves. There's always a reason someone said that, but that's not a mantra to live on. Because we have got to remember, we can sabotage our faith by subtly beginning to think, I gotta do this, I gotta help God. And what happened to all those in the Bible who helped God? They, right? Then Sarah did it. Creates disaster because only God has a master plan. And so folks, don't recognize your true value and don't sabotage your own faith. There's an incredible worth over your life because Jesus paid the cost already. And many people have allowed the secular lifestyle to dominate their spirit. You need to remind yourself, I'm a blood-bought child of God where Holy Spirit is inside of me. I may not be fully active, but oh, well, I'm going to tell the world I'm coming out. You know, they had the, I'm coming out. Why don't you come out of your spiritual darkness and dullness and slackness and be what God wants you to be. Everyone's using this context of coming out. Christians, stop shutting up. Come out too. Come on, somebody. This passage by Paul, by the Apostle Peter, 1 Peter 1, verse 4 to 16, reminds us that holiness has a price, and that price is obedience to the Word of God. Holiness has a price. Here's what he says of the, he says, this is something to capture, friends. Holiness has a price. First Peter, so you must live as God's obedient children. Don't slip back into your old ways of living to satisfy your own desires. You didn't know any better then, but you must be holy in everything you do, just as God who chose you is holy. For the scriptures say you must be holy because I am holy. It's very important. Again, Corinthians is always showing you when Paul started the church in an extremely secular culture. And he's now reminding them, and Peter even pulls it out to remind you, it's easy to slip back into the old ways of satisfying your own desires. But when you recognize you're a child of God, you keep reminding yourself, I've got to push through for holiness because I'm now a different person. Friends, know who you are. You're God's workmanship. You're called into God's marvelous light. You're given his grace. You're showered with his glory. Come on, if I accept that, the devil has to flee me. Know who you are because you're God's field. Bible says, 1 Corinthians 18, stop deceiving yourself. If you think you're wise by the world standard, you need to become a fool to be truly wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness to God. The scripture says he traps the wise in the snare of their own cleverness. And the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise. He knows they're worthless. Stop deceiving yourself. Great education, all of this astuteness, it's all good to bring us through society, but that's not what's going to bring us to heaven. What will bring us to heaven is faith in Almighty God, not our own cleverness, because even our cleverness is foolishness to the God who gave us our mind. God wants us to be planted, watered, nurtured, reaped for his glory. And if you can't sense that, then how are others going to come into this marvelous light? Remember, friends, worldly wisdom is not permanent. It's foolish and it's perishable. So don't destroy the grace of God upon your life. Know who you are because you're God's master builder. 1 Corinthians 3:21, don't boast about the following a particular human. For everything belongs to you, whether Paul or Apollos or life or death or present or future, everything belongs to you. This is a great encouraging passage. Paul closes this chapter 3 saying, God is the wise master building. God is the wise master builder, but he says the building is who? Okay, then personalize it. If you put an M and an E on it, God says his wise master building is? Imagine if you got up and told the devil that every morning. I'm God's wise master building. I'm not all that, you know, the rest of the world thinks, but guess what? That's who I am. Imagine if you really believe that and begin to seek God's Holy Spirit. Receive the power of God's Spirit upon your life. Do you know what would happen, friends? You wouldn't know what to do with yourself. Because when we acknowledge the goodness and grace of Almighty God in our life, we would stop living afraid of the devil and let the devil be afraid of us. That's the problem. I'm God's temple. I'm God's building. I'm building my life on his foundation. I am given the gift of grace and God's goodness. And every minute I fear what the devil, and I blame the devil, and I talk the devil, and I forget who I am. The church has become weakened because we are looking at secular ways to reach God when there's only a spiritual way, and that is by faith to walk in the power, the gift, the grace, the goodness, and the glory of Almighty God. Do you know who you are? You're not some little leftover, some wimp. You might be acting wimpy, but you weren't created to be a wimp. You're created to be a mighty powerhouse through God. That comes in faith. That comes by faith. That comes with faith. And if we're going to see that zeal consume the house of the Lord and people step back into knowing this is real, we have to start living it as if it's real. When we go to pray in faith, believing. This Tuesday at our prayer, we're going to focus on, Lord, increase our faith. Because that's what's missing. Faith in Almighty God shouldn't just be so that I skate through. Remember he said some will barely make it? Don't be like that. You've got to be abandoned to the cause of Christ because of who you are, because of what God wants to use you to do. So I want to encourage you today. Dear friends, recognize, Bible says in John 15:7, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want and it will be granted. When you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. And this brings great glory to my Father. Just recognize this that God created, he created for his glory. You have been created for much more. You've been created so that the world will see that God is real. They'll only see the reality of the power of God when you, by faith, begin to walk in such a newness that you're like, God, everyone's got to see. I can't do it on my own. I do it because of the strength and the peace and the power and the promises of God. One message today. Know who you are. Know who you are. You're not left alone. Even if you're new to faith, you're stronger than anyone. Because the strength of the Lord is not given by longevity. It's given because God's grace is in you. Be confident. Be confident. That's all I want to encourage you today. Be very confident. Become more confident than you've ever been. Be cautious, though. Be more cautious. Watch what you build into your spiritual foundation. So use some caution. Be very conscious. Evaluate the type of spiritual materials you're using. Because the world tells us this is what will make you great. And God says, you're already made great by the power of the Spirit. Let his greatness come alive. And lastly, I want to say to you, be very serious. Be serious and careful about who you are building your spiritual future with. A lot of times we're watching so many things and people and this and that. The Word of God is rich enough to guide you into all truth. So build with God's grace, build with God's love, build by the power of the Holy Spirit, build by increasing your faith in Christ and allowing yourself to grow to deeper levels. Yes, glean from here and there. But the reason Paul points out all the time, stop figuring out about Paul, Apostle, Apollos, all of these. Stop figuring out who's good and who's bad based on your own intellectual assent. He says, recognize this. You are God's master building. And what he's looking for is to see you produce great fruit because you are so confident that God can use you that he picked up and put his holy anointed hands on, called you out of darkness into light, loves on you, causes you to wake up, and in the midst of all circumstance for you to stand up and say, but by the grace of God, I'll be able to make it. If you get to that place online where you acknowledge all that is in me is because of God, whether it be life or death, whether it be sickness or healing, whether it be strength or weakness, it's all because of Almighty God. When you begin to live it, it grows in you. But others begin to feel what God is saying and what God is doing.
We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. Be sure to subscribe, rate, and review it if you enjoyed. You can also help us reach others by investing in our church at ppclife.ca/give. Thank you again for joining us today at Our PPC Life.